Thank you for your invitation, and welcome to my presentation. So I'm going to talk about some of the challenges that I have been seeing in integrating the planning and scheduling in oil industry. So here is the outline of my talk. First, I'm going to talk about the decision-making hierarchy in the process industry. Then I will mention about what's the ideal integrated planning and scheduling problem, and why is it an ideal situation that we may not be able to implement that. And then I'm going to talk about what's the current planning and scheduling practice, and then following will be the integration challenges. I will highlight some of the key challenges. There are probably more challenges that I can talk about in this presentation within the time limit, but I will highlight some of the key challenges and one of the strategies to resolve the challenges. And finally, I will wrap up the presentation by presenting the conclusion. So first, let's talk about the decision-making hierarchy. This is a typical decision-making hierarchy in a process industry, whether it is in oil and gas or any other petrochemical industry. Sometimes we have this kind of decision-making hierarchy. We have the planning layer, scheduling layer, real-time optimization layer or the RTO layer, and the process control. And each layer optimizes its own objectives and decide what decision that we are going to make. And then each layer passes the targets to the layers below that. And I'll talk about each layer individually. First, the production planning layer. And typically, this layer is executed every month. And we look at the planning horizons of around 6 months, and we look at the long-term economics of operations of a refinery or processing industry. And in this kind of planning layer, we have a plant-wide model. Therefore, we look at the whole refinery in order to optimize the planning decisions. And sometimes we may go beyond the refinery. We may include terminals, and for oil industry, we may even include the upstream operations, so that this kind of model look as a bigger picture. And because we look at the plant-wide model, and including some of the terminals or upstream operations, we cannot have a lot of details in this model. And we have usually simplified yield model for a process unit. And for inventory, we aggregate the inventory instead of looking at the individual tanks. And by solving the planning optimization problem, we determine what would be the monthly average target. For example, what crude that we are going to buy in the next month and what products that we are going to make. And all those targets are monthly average. Once we have the monthly average targets, and then we will move on to the scheduling layer. And in the planning model, we look at a long-term economics. In scheduling layer, we execute the calculation every week. And the planning horizon is typically 6 to 8 weeks. And again, in the scheduling layer, we have a plant-wide model, but we may not include the terminals or any other upstream decisions. We mainly focus on the refinery in the scheduling layer. And because of a plant-wide model, again, we use a simplified yield model. And most of the time, we look at the short-term feasibility. And because we want to see whether the monthly targets are feasible or not, so we have to model the individual tanks, because we don't want the tanks overflow or underflow. And then from solving the scheduling optimization problem, we will determine what's the daily operating target. And these daily operation targets will be implemented. And then we will send those targets to the RTO layer. And in RTO layer, we typically execute the calculation every hour, and we optimize the current economics. We don't look at any future horizon. So what we optimize is the current economics. And in RTO layer, we look at a lot of constraints that we don't consider in the planning and scheduling layer. For example, the reflexible rate, the temperature in the trace, and all other detailed unit operation constraints, we model it in the RTO layer. Therefore, the RTO layer looks at a very detailed mathematical model, and we typically look at the steady state model. So when we solve those RTO calculations, we'll determine what's the real-time process unit operations target. And these operating targets are implemented in the process control layer. And this process control layer, typically, we execute every minute, and we want to keep our process unit at the RTO target. And this is the layer that we look at the dynamics of the process unit. And for the control horizon, if we use a dynamic matrix control, we need to make sure that the control horizon is long enough in order to capture the process dynamics. So in this talk, the main focus is on the planning and scheduling layer, and I will talk about what's the current practice, what's the challenges in the integration, and what are the issues that we have been seeing, and how we are going to handle those issues. So ideally, what do we want to optimize in a oil and gas industry? So this is the ideal integration framework, and typically the inputs are the product lifting schedule, which is at the terminal. So this is what the end customer wants to have. And in the refining operation, what decisions that we want to make. And so based on this product lifting schedule, we want to optimize the refinery in order to determine, say, what crude that we are going to run. We may run some of the synthetic crude or conventional crude, and what and how we are going to schedule the crude delivery. Because depending on the lifting schedule here, say in this period, we may want to have a crude that has a higher gasoline yield to, in order to meet this gasoline demand. And in the next period, we may want to have a crude we have which has a more distant yield in order to meet this demand. And these scheduling issues is very important to in optimizing our refinery. And there are also other operating conditions that we want to optimize. For example, all the process units here, what's the production targets that we want to operate at in all the units, and what are the quality targets that we want to operate at. And we also need to look at the inventory profile, because it's a multi-period optimization. We want to make sure that we have enough inventory in order to meet that customer demand, which varies during the planning horizon. And this is the product lifting schedule at the terminal that goes to the end customer. But we also have a lifting schedule at the refinery, and we also want to optimize what's the product lifting schedule at the refinery. So you can see that there are a lot of decision variables in the ideal planning and optimization problem, and there are lots of continuous variables and integer variables. So mathematically, this is a very challenging problem. However, there's another issue that we may not be able to solve the whole problem at once. So let's look at the industry supply chain. And this is the decision that we need to make from the upstream operation all the way to our end user. So here is how we want to make our decision. So in the upstream operations, whether it is an oil sands operations or conventional oil, we produce crude oil from here. And then the crude oil will be sent to the refinery through pipeline operations. And then from the refinery, we make the product and then send the product to terminal, which could be by truck, by pipeline, or by rail or other ways of transportation. And then from terminal operations, we send the end product to the gas station, which is the product that we consume at the gas station, at the pump, and then it could be by truck. And you see that in order to optimize the problem, we want to optimize everything in here, ideally. But a lot of times we cannot do that. The reason is that not all the decisions can be made by oil companies. Say, as I mentioned before here, the pipeline operation, because most of the time the pipeline operation is not owned by oil companies. And say in Alberta, the pipeline is owned by Enbridge, so we cannot make the decisions how Enbridge is going to send us the crude oil. Say Enbridge typically gets the nomination from different companies, and then they will schedule their crude oil. So the crude delivery problem, this is a decision that we won't be able to make. And the same thing for product delivery, because it could be from pipeline or the freight companies, that we may not be able to have the handles to schedule our product delivery to the end customer. And another related issue is that most of the time for this delay, we have a wholesaler, and then we don't see the end customer, so the wholesalers can influence the product delivery decision. So if we want to make all the optimal decisions by solving a single problem, it's not possible because of these issues. So what typically in industrial practice, what typically we do is to separate the planning and the scheduling optimization into two different layers. So this is typically what we do in planning and scheduling. You can see that the black here, the black stuff here, they are the inputs to the problem, and the blue, the things highlighted blue, they are the decisions that we got from solving the planning and the scheduling problem, and the red here is the decision that we cannot handle, and then we have to fix those decisions. So for planning optimization problem, we look at the monthly average. Therefore, we have the inputs of the say average crude delivery and availability and the average crude price. And again, for products, we may have an average product demand instead of having the daily variation. So from solving this planning optimization problem, then we can find what crude that we are going to buy and what product that we are going to make. But we cannot make those decisions like how we are going to schedule the crude delivery and how we are going to leave the product at the terminals. So because this decision may be made by other parties. So in terms of scheduling, we just take the average process unit operating conditions coming from the planning layer, and we have to fix this decision and then put it in the scheduling layer. Then we will determine what's the daily process operating units and the inventory profile that we need to operate. So this is what currently we are doing in industrial practice. So I'm going to talk about some of the highlights of optimization problem in the planning and scheduling layer. And for the planning optimization problem, we use a simplified process unit model because, as I mentioned before, this is a plan-wide problem. And therefore, if we have a lot of details, nonlinear models in the nonlinear equations in the model, it will be very difficult to solve, especially that we are looking at the horizons of something like 6 months. So for the process unit, usually we have a simplified we have a crude assay that represents the qualities and the yield of the crude. And most of the process unit, we have a linear yield model, and sometimes we may model the nonlinearity in there, which could be a Bayes delta model or other types of nonlinearity that we want to be possible in the independent model. And because most of the process units are nonlinear in nature, we may be able to link it to the nonlinear simulator. I think some of the companies may have a planning optimization model that is linked to a simulator like an S-band plus, and then to generate some derivatives and then pass it to the planning model. And for the branding and quality calculation, most of the time we use a nonlinear branding and quality calculation. And for example, in RVP calculation in gasoline branding, we know that when we brand the components together, that RVP will not be linearly brand, and then we have to implement the nonlinear branding calculation in there. The same thing for distillate, the key qualities are the cloud and maybe the freeze and other other qualities like viscosity, because we cannot accurately model the, using linear branding calculation, so we need to have some nonlinearity in this planning problem. And for inventory, as I said, we just aggregate the inventory together. We don't really look at the individual tanks. So what decision that we are going to implement? And typically, even though we look at planning horizons of 6 to 8 months, and we usually implement the first month, and then after the first month, and then we do the calculation again when we have some new information. So typically, the decision implement is the first month, the solution at the first month from the planning layer, and the decision of what crude that we are going to buy. If we are short of products, we may need to buy the products to meet the demand whenever the demand is high, and then we are at the capacity that we may not be able to meet the demand, then we may have a product purchase decision there. And we also determine so what the sales volumes, and so the gasoline and the distillate, depending on the relative price and the demand, we may have a different sales volume for these different products. And we also have a monthly unit rate and other operating targets, such as the cut point in the distillation column, and also the qualities of the distillate draw from the crude distillation column. These are the conditions that which are also coming from the planning layer. And another key decisions that we want to implement is the diesel and gasoline branding, because we make a lot of different kind of gasoline component and the diesel component, and there may be a lot of different ways to blend the diesel and gasoline in order to meet the demand as well as minimizing the cost. So these diesel and gasoline blendings are also the key decisions that we want to implement in the from the planning layer. So in terms of scheduling layer, for the process model, typically these process models are the same as the planning the models that we use in the planning layers. And again, we don't have a lot of details, process unit operating constraints in there. And because we look at short-term feasibility, so for inventory, we have to model all the tanks in the refinery and sometimes maybe the terminal. And there are a lot of decisions that we have to fix in the scheduling layer. Say the crude delivery schedule, even though in the planning layer we determine what's the optimal purchase of the crude, but we cannot determine the crude delivery because it's, say for the crude coming from Alberta, this delivery is mainly, the decision is mainly made by Enbridge, and the same thing for product lifting, and we have to fix the decisions from the price company. And finally, the monthly operating targets, and these are the decisions that are coming from the planning layer that we want to implement. On average, over the months, we want to operate at this optimum target. So the optimization problem is that this is a monthly operating target, but we want, in the schedule layer, we want to determine what the daily operating targets are so that we can implement and communicate to the operation and for implementations. And in this optimization problem, because we have the monthly operating targets coming from the planning layer, and this is an optimal operating target, so the objective in the scheduling problem is to minimize the deviation from the monthly operating targets. So if you look at the diagram here, this is more, this is the difference between the planning and the scheduling. In the planning calculation, we determine what's the monthly average target, which is the red dot in here. In the scheduling layer, we want to minimize the deviation from this monthly average target so that during the month, we want to operate our unit as close as this point as possible because this is the optimum monthly operation that's coming from the planning layer. And on a day-to-day basis, we don't want to deviate too much from this optimum. So this is the difference between the planning and the scheduling calculation. So what are the current practices in doing the planning and scheduling calculations? So I'm going to talk about, say, what tools that we, say, Suncor is using for doing the planning and scheduling problem, and there may be a lot of other tools from different companies, and, say, different oil and gas companies may use different tools, but this is what we have been using in Suncor. So for the planning problem, we use the Hartley Grimes model. This is a nonlinear optimization problem, and in Grimes, we use successive linear programming to solve the optimization problem. So they have a lot of iterations to linearize the model so that we can get to the optimum of the nonlinear problems. And in the planning problem, we look at the economic optimization. So we have the revenue coming from sales and the cost that we need to buy the crude and also other products. And also we have an energy cost here, so we can calculate what would be the gross margin of a refinery, and the objective is to maximize the gross margin in the production planning problem. Yes. Actually, you can put the integer programming problem in here, and then there is some algorithm inside the Grimes to solve the integer programming problem, which is probably a branch and branch method, things like that. So there's some heuristic that can solve the integer programming problem. But a lot of time we don't really implement the integer programming problem in here because the planning model is already very large, and we are looking at the 6 to 8 months of horizons, and we have a lot of terminal refinery and maybe integrated with upstream operations that we try to avoid putting integer variables there unless it is really needed. So for the scheduling problem, and again we use the Hartley tools, and the tools is called the HGAP. And in the scheduling problem, they use the progressive LP to solve the optimization problem. And because this is a very large optimization problem, so instead of looking at all the scheduling horizon at the same time, they just break it down into different interval and then solve it by progressive LP. And then I will talk about how Xcap will do this calculation. And the key things in Xcap formulation is that economics is not really explicitly formulated. Even though that we could be able to do that in the scheduling problem, but in Xcap we are not really doing that. So now we've seen that how we are going to solve the planning problem, how we are going to solve the scheduling problem using Heavily tools. And the issue is that, say, from planning to scheduling, what kind of information that we need to pass from the planning layer to scheduling layer, and what would be the appropriate formulation in the scheduling layer. So those are the issues that I have been seeing in my work in FunCore, and then those are the challenging issues that we need to resolve. So the first issue that I'm going to talk about is the economics in scheduling layer. So this is what we can formulate the scheduling layer in Xcap. So from the planning layer, we have a monthly operating target, which could be the average monthly quit rate, average CAC cracker rate, calculation unit rate, and things like that. And then from this monthly average target, and then we put it in the scheduling layer. And we want to minimize the deviation between the monthly average target and the daily operations. And in Xcap, we have some penalty parameter, which is set by the user to minimize the deviation from the target. And this kind of penalty parameter is typically set arbitrarily. Say this is, for example, this is a monthly average target, and we want to minimize, say, a penalty parameter times the difference between these two points. Now, the question is, if we don't have economics in here, I need to set a penalty parameter for, say, CAC cracker, and I need to set a penalty parameter for hydro cracker. How are we going to set it? So usually, through the experience of those process engineers, they know that, okay, we have a higher economics in running the hydro cracker, and then they will set a very high value at for the penalty parameters or hydro cracker, things like that. But the thing is, even though we have some kind of experience on which unit can make more money, but it is really difficult to set the penalty parameters. So this is one of the issues in Xcap that we don't really have the economics in the calculation here. So ideally, if we can have monthly average targets and we have some economic information coming from the planning layer and then pass it to scheduling, we can set the penalty parameters by using the economic information coming from the planning layer. So one of the examples that we can do is that, say, if, remember that when we solve the optimization problem, when a variable hits the constraint, we always get the marginal values. And then that marginal values tell us, say, what would be the change in the objective function when we have a unit change in the constraint. So marginal value actually captures the economics in here when the variable hits the constraint. Say, if we deviate, if suppose that this is the constraint and then this is active, and if we deviate from this constraint, if we implement the operations in here, then we will have a loss on profit, which can be obtained from the marginal values. So because we can set the penalty parameters in Xcap, this kind of formulation is possible. As long as we can pass the information, which is the marginal values, from planning layer to scheduling layer, and then we can set, instead of arbitrarily set the penalty parameter, we can just set it using a marginal value. Then we can implement the economics in the scheduling calculation. However, if the unit targets coming from the planning layer doesn't really hit the minimum or maximum, it's in between the minimum or maximum, and then we know that whenever we have a positive deviation or negative deviation here, we still have a loss in profit because we want to keep our operating condition at, say, X star here. If we implement in here or if we implement in here, we have a loss in profit. We want to minimize the loss in profit if we in the scheduling calculation. So ideally, the loss in profit is given by this equation. We can use the Hessian matrix, which shows that, say, whenever we deviate from this point, we will have a loss in profit. And we want to minimize this quadratic term for scheduling calculations so that we want to keep our scheduling targets close to what we have in the monthly average. Unfortunately, this kind of formulation is not possible in HCAD because HCAD uses a progressive LP, and whenever we put this calculation, it has to be a QP. So right now, we won't be able to implement those calculations in here. So even though it is possible to pass the economic marginal values from HCAD. And another issue that we could potentially have is that whenever there is a change in the edge set, then this thing, the dimension, the structure of the Hessian matrix can change. And remember that in the planning layer, we only look at the monthly average. So we have one edge set for that monthly average optimum operating conditions. However, when we look at the day-to-day operations, that we may have a change in the active set. So if we have a day-to-day changes in the active set, how are we going to get this information coming from the planning layer, which is really, really difficult. So I have talked about what the issues in the economics formulation in the scheduling layer. And another issue that I want to talk about is the problem decomposition. And in the scheduling layer, because we are going to model individual tanks, and then we are looking at the scheduling horizon of 6 to 8 weeks, and then we may divide it, we may have one period per day. So we will have a lot of periods in this scheduling problem. And also, we need to model individual tanks, so there are a lot of equations in the scheduling problem compared to the planning problem. So to solve the scheduling problem at once, it is very complicated. So what HCAD does is that for the scheduling problem, they decompose into three different problems: the quick banding optimization, or the we call H cost, refining operations, H ROS, and the Gaussian banding optimization, which is H ROS. And they in HCAD we solve all these problems sequentially. So this is how we solve the scheduling problem in HCAD. As I mentioned before, the quick delivery schedule, this is a fixed decision. And the display lifting schedule and the gasoline lifting schedule, those are the fixed decisions. And that's the customer requirement for the demands. And all the blue stuff here are the decisions that we make in the scheduling calculation. So in solving the problem, in HCAD first, we take the quick delivery schedule and then put in H cost for doing the quick banding optimization. So from this, we will determine what will be the daily variation of the quick rate and what will be the daily variation of the quick diet. And once we have this decision, we fix that decision and then implement it in the refining operations or HROS. And from the quick rate and the quick diet and also the distillery lifting schedule, then we will determine what will be the unit daily variation of the unit rates and what will be the, say, gasoline component rundowns and the qualities and so on. And once we have this decision from HROS, and then we pass this decision to HROS for the gasoline branding calculation. So once we fix the gasoline lifting schedule, and then from HROS, we have all those gasoline component rundowns and qualities, and then we'll determine what would be the branding schedule, and then what would be the recipe of the different gasoline grades. So this is a sequential decision-making process, and therefore the optimization of the primary operations is not considered. So which means this is not really an optimum if we consider the refinery as a whole. It is a suboptimal solution. Okay, and one thing I want to highlight is that, and because we decompose the problem in this way, say we may have a situation that in the gasoline branding problem, we find that it's infeasible. But in reality, it may not be infeasible because we can always go back to make changes in the decision. However, right now in HCAD, we won't be able to do that because HCAD is implemented in a way that all the decisions are made sequentially. So HCAD doesn't have the capability that, okay, this is infeasible and then go back to change it. No, HCAD doesn't do that right now. And this is a really significant issue because when we determine what's the daily operating rate, we cannot have an infeasible solution. We need to have a feasible solution so that we can implement it to refinery. So another related problem for the decomposition is the decomposition in the time horizon. And As I mentioned before, the HGX use a progressive LP to do the calculation. What progressive LP does is that, okay, this is a time horizon, and then we divide it into, say, this is day one, day two, day three, and so on, up to day maybe 50. And in the progressive LP, they solve the MIP problem in the first period. Because we only look at a single period optimization, this problem is a small problem, so it's easy to solve. And then once we solve the problem, and then we fix that decision, and then go to the next day, and then we solve the MIP problem for the next day, and then we keep doing that until we hit the end of the scheduling horizon. And again, this is the this decomposition problem only look at one day at a time, which means the decision may not be optimal when we look at, say, 6 to 8 weeks at the same time in here. And again, we may have a problem that when we go to, say, for example, day 10, and then the LP, the progressive LP thinks that, okay, this is infeasible. But in reality, it may not be infeasible because this is a progressive LP problem. It doesn't really look at this infeasibility and then go back to make adjustment. HGX will just simply tell you that we cannot find a solution. So this is a very key issues that we've seen in the scheduling problem, that we don't want to have an infeasible solution, but in fact it's a feasible. And another key problem that using the progressive LP is that we cannot set an inventory target at any period during the scheduling horizon. However, setting closing inventory targets is really important. For example, if we have a plant shutdown within this scheduling horizon, we may want to build a lot of end products before the shutdown so that we can meet the customer demand, or we want to draw down the inventory or all the intermediates before the shutdown because we will build intermediate inventory during the shutdown. Without this option, that it's really hard to make the decision because we won't be able to say, okay, this is the start of the shutdown. We want to have a target closing inventory during that period. How are we going to do that? It's not possible in HGX. So this is a very important issue that we face in HGX calculation. Okay, those are from the problem decomposition point of view. And another issue that we see is that we don't have any purchase decision that can be implemented in HGX. And this is especially important when we have unexpected shutdown. For example, we may have a loss of power that caused a unit shutdown, and then because of the unit shutdown, we won't be able to meet all the customer demand, and we need to buy products or buy gasoline or diesel components in case that we want to meet all the customer demand. So, but in HGX, we don't have the options to put any purchase decision. So, which means whenever there is a shutdown, HGX fail, and we cannot get any feasible solution. So, this is because this district lifting schedule and the gasoline lifting schedule, these are the demands that we have to meet. And without purchases, we won't be able to meet those demands. So therefore, it is really critical to have purchase decision in the scheduling calculation. But for the time being, we don't have these options. So we have seen some of the issues in the scheduling and the planning calculation. So what do we want? I'm going to talk about the integration framework for the gasoline blending. These are the things that we really want to have in the scheduling problem. We include some economics because we are integrating planning and scheduling. We want to have some economics coming from the planning layer to the scheduling layer so that when we determine the schedule, we also optimize the economics. We want to determine what's the maximum gasoline production for any unplanned shutdown. And we don't want to run the HGX and then tell us that we cannot meet the demand. And we really need to determine how much that we can make based on the availability of the components. If we cannot make it, then we have to make the purchase decision. What component that we are going to buy, what finished product gasoline that we are going to buy. And the first thing is we want to be able to set any closing inventory targets. Again, this is important for the shutdown that we want to make sure that we have inventory to meet the customer demand. And finally, this is the key thing. We want to determine the optimal gasoline blending recipe for HGX implementation. Because if we don't have those kind of In Xcap, because we cannot resolve all those issues, Xcap may tell you that it's infeasible. But when we blend the gasoline, we need to take the recipe and then talk to the operation. This is what you are going to blend in the next few days. But if Xcap tells you that it's not feasible, then we need to get something. So in here, we want to implement the recipe in Xcap so that Xcap will be more robust to give us a recipe that we can implement. So in my work in Sanyo Refinery, this is what I implement. So in the planning layer, we have all the economic information, and then we build against multi-period gasoline optimization problem, so that because this is an equation space optimization problem, and we solve all the periods at once, so we can pay with all the closing inventory, or we can pay with any purchase in here, so that we can have a rough idea what will be the realistic, feasible, optimal recipe that we can implement in exports, and then that can avoid having exports to tell us that it's infeasible. Now the question you may ask is, because we have a planning, we have a gasoline blending recipe from the planning layer, then why don't we just directly implement the planning recipe into the scheduling recipe calculation? Why not? The problem that we have is that a lot of times when we look at the planning and when we look at the actual scheduling implementation, we may look at the different economic drives. So as an example, and so in a BTX unit, in a refinery, we take the reformate and then we separate into different BTX components, benzene, toluene, xylene, and then we have a heavy aromatics, and these chemicals can go to actually benzene is for sale, and toluene and xylene we can put it in gasoline or we can sell it to the market because some of the petrochemical companies take this as a feedstock to their plants, so that there is a market for toluene and xylene. And for heavy aromatics, we have to put it in the gasoline because there is no market for heavy aromatics. So if we look at the LP marginal cost, and a lot of time we find that the heavy aromatics has a higher marginal cost than the toluene and the xylene. The reason is that when we look at the marginal cost, it looks at the cost of making an additional unit of heavy aromatics. And then because we need to put the resume and then go through all the units before making the heavy aromatics, so we have a higher marginal cost in here compared to the toluene. But in reality, when we look at the sale price of toluene, most of the time we want to put toluene into the we want to sell the toluene to the market instead of putting it into the gasoline. So that drive is very different from what we've seen in the planning layer. So this is what I have talked about. So when we look at the toluene balance, we can put toluene into sales to meet the demand, and the rest can go to toluene can go to gasoline to meet the gasoline demand. And once we meet the toluene demand in the planning layer, the most economic way is to put in the gasoline and then instead of putting in the inventory, because when we put in the gasoline, we can make profit. However, when we look at the scheduling operations, it's totally different. When we have some toluene after we meet the demand, usually the gasoline blender will minimize the toluene to gasoline, and we want to meet the gasoline demand by using the minimum amount of toluene. The reason is that when we minimize the use of the gasoline, the toluene in gasoline, the toluene will stay in inventory, and we hope that in the future there may be a changes in the demand so that we want to use those toluene in tankage for meeting the toluene sales, which is a higher margin compared to the gasoline sales. So the gasoline blender wants to minimize the toluene to gasoline so that we can use it for future sales. And this is very different from the drive in the planning layer, because of planning layer, when they look at the demand, once the toluene demand is met, and then we put in the gasoline. So that's why we cannot directly take the planning target for implementation in scheduling layer. So what we could do, we can increase the cost, toluene cost in gasoline blending schedule calculation. That is, we want to change the economic drive when we pass the data from planning to scheduling. So one of the examples is to use instead of using the marginal cost of toluene, which has a lower marginal cost compared to the heavy aromatics, we can just use the sales price instead of the marginal cost. And if you look at the sales price, and then this is very consistent with the transfer price approach in accounting. When we look at, we can look at refinery as a supplier to the gasoline branding problem, and then the refinery transfer the toluene to gasoline branding, and then what would be the right transfer pricing for transferring the toluene from the refinery to gasoline branding? And the minimum transfer price is equal to variable cost plus the opportunity loss. So variable cost is always a marginal cost, and opportunity loss is equal to sale price minus the marginal cost. So you can see that if you use the minimum transfer pricing approach, we just basically take the sales price of the toluene instead of the marginal cost for gasoline branding optimization in the scheduling layer. And then the recipe will be determined by solving the optimization problem based on this adjusted toluene cost. And then this, because we adjusted toluene cost, the recipe coming from the scheduling layer could be different from what we have in the planning layer. But this is a better economic drive because we can always keep our toluene into the tankage and then use it for the future. So this is what this summarizes what I have talked about. So in the planning layer, we determine what would be the economic monthly average operating targets and the gasoline or diesel branding. And then from the gasoline branding, we can pass all the economic information with some adjustment on the toluene cost and then into GAMES. And then we can determine what would be the gasoline recipe. And in here, we can set closing inventory targets here. And we can also implement the purchase decision in here. But in this purchase decision, we always want to penalize the purchase. So we want to buy the components or finished product only when we really need it. For example, we have an upset or the demand is so high that we cannot meet the demand. And then from this, we will determine what would be the gasoline branding recipe and what would be the maximum production, gasoline production that we can actually brand in the refinery. And this maximum gasoline production is really critical for the trader, that they will need to make the purchase decision and then to identify what would be the purchase component or finished product. And then once the trader identifies what components are available in the market or finished products are available in the market, and then we will have those delivery schedule that we can put in export. And with this recipe, maximum production and the delivery schedule for the purchase component or finished product, then we will have a very robust calculation in export that we can, most of the time, we can generate a very realistic recipe for gasoline branding. So to summarize, this is an additional layer that we want to interface planning and the scheduling layer, and then basically we want to fine-tune the gasoline branding recipe before the implementation. And then we want to have a very realistic and targets, and we want to have a robust solution so that we can from export, so that we can communicate their targets to operations for implementation. And this approach is successfully applied to generate a weekly gasoline branding plan and getting a daily recipe targets for implementation. So here is the conclusion of my talk. So I have talked about the challenge of integrating the planning and scheduling calculation. So we identify what decisions that we need to make. We have a lot of decisions that we can make, but the thing is we may not be able to optimize all the decisions because not everything is under our control. And we talk about what's the mathematical formulation of planning and scheduling. And we talk about the commercial tools. And actually, basically, it's escape. This is what I have experience in. And the limitation of escape in solving the scheduling problem. And because of the limitation from the commercial tools, and we have a multi-period gasoline branding optimizer to interface between the planning and the scheduling layer. This is basically to fine-tune the gasoline brand recipe coming from the planning layer, and then to facilitate any decision-making for any unplanned upset that we haven't looked at in the, because it's unplanned, so we haven't looked at that in the planning layer, but whenever we have the upset, then we have to deal with that in the scheduling layer. And because of this gasoline branding optimization problem, then we can identify say how much gasoline that we can make and what, and then that information can be discussed with the trader to determine what would be the purchase component and the volume, things like that. And the key issue here is to minimize the chance of getting an infeasible solution from boss. As I mentioned before, we may have an infeasible solution, but it may not actually infeasible because of the calculation. The way that Xcat does the calculation, so with this multi-period gasoline blending optimization, we can minimize the chance of getting an infeasible solution, and we have a very reliable recipe for implementation. So that's the end of my presentation. So I'm happy to take any questions.